Does he just mute? Does Dan sound like a robot?
He sounds like a robot. I think there's something wrong with the connection, so we're hearing it weird, but it's turning out fine when he it like on his computer.
Well, what happens is when he does that, like our voice going through Google is getting loaded directly into the recording program, and his voice is going directly into the recording program. It just means that if he ever needs the Google Plus backup, he's gonna sound like shit.
Yeah.
My name is Oliver Queen. After 5 years in hell, I returned home with only one goal, to save my city. But my old approach wasn't enough. I had to become someone else. I had to become something else. I had to become the Green Arrow.
They knew what they were up to.
Say that last part again.
It was a bite-sized chunk. They knew what they were up to.
Okay, I guess that works as a cold open.
What?
Exactly.
What?
Hello, and welcome to the Rogue Arrow podcast, the best Arrow podcast with three co-hosts in three time zones on two continents discussing one television show. Normally there's four, but Laurel's off chasing some bourbon or something.
Yeah.
So.
Bourbon chaser. No, it's sort of like Hood to Coast, but it's in Kentucky and they drink bourbon instead of beer at the end of it all.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, very testosterone filled episode for you guys this week. As always, I am Daniel James.
I'm Rudy Chubak.
And I'm Chris O'Neill.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he
Damn
is.
Damn straight.
Episode 4.02, season 4, episode 2. Yeah, I don't know. Whichever way you want to slice it. Titled
42.
Yeah, sure. Why not? Titled The Candidate.
It's only going to be weird until we get to the episode 4013.
Yep, 4013. That, ow, my brain hurts. Written by Mark Guggenheim and Kido Shimizu and directed by John Baring. Quick synopsis. I've not read this before, so I hope it's good. When an old family friend, Jessica Danforth, tells Oliver and Thea that she is going to run for mayor, both queens are concerned, considering the last three mayors have been murdered. Despite their protests, Jessica makes her announcement, so the Green Arrow and Speedy vow to protect her. Meanwhile, Thea begins to exhibit effects from the Lazarus Pit. In addition, Felicity is faced with a tough business decision and looks to one of her employees, Curtis Holt, for help.
Sounds pretty accurate.
Yeah, I feel like that's pretty expansive. It's only missing out on the flashback, I think, which...
Yeah, that's true.
Not much happens.
A little bit. Yeah, but not much.
It's okay. It wasn't really the most thrilling flashback anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been so long. Okay, so... I guess the soundbite you were looking for earlier, and I didn't realize that that's what you were looking for, is I felt like this episode was much better than the last episode, and I think the reasons why are because of the same reasons why we were upset with last week's episode, in that it was the reverse, where they actually did take the time to develop the conflict between Thea and Oliver, and they actually did take the time to introduce this rando character to be the bad guy, and they also did, like, they took the time to go through the steps of introducing these characters and these themes instead of just whipping through it and making big choices and not really explaining why. And also, we actually see Thea, like last week, where it's like she punched the guy for a little too long, and that's she's off the chain. This week, it's like, she's breaking dudes' elbows. She's lighting motherfuckers on fire.
Yeah, like properly out of control shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
something
proper,
that you
proper.
Would be like, oh, you're taking this too far. Yeah.
All I was doing was punching a guy. Yeah, but you're punching. All right, fine. You're just punching a guy.
Typical.
All I was doing.
I was just punching him. It's okay.
Yeah, all right.
It's not like
Dear,
I was lighting
right.
him on
yeah,
fire or anything.
Let's talk about what you did today. All I did was light a man on fire. That's all I did. It's not even a big deal. It was actually really interesting because in the fight, like, there was the sort of conversation that her and conversation in air quotes that her and Oliver have about the fighting that she was using. She's like, Oliver fighting stuff was made to cripple or whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you could have stopped that fight with a quick, easy move like this, boom, boom, boom. And then does that like, sort of low kick takedown thing. And then, they continued their sort of scrap. So in the fight between her and the bad guy, whose name I can't remember right now,
you could call him Anarchy. That's going to be his code name going forward, as hinted at the end.
They're just calling him Anarchy? Okay. Yeah. But anyway, they in that fight, you know, she's fighting. She sort of gets taken out, and then Oliver's fighting him, and then Oliver sort of gets taken out, and then she comes back, and she starts fighting him again. And then she actually does take him down with that nice, clean mid-straight kick, you know. So it felt like they were going to go away from the crazy and be like, look, she took his notes. Now she's, no, she's letting him fuck. And she's smiling while he burns. Okay, yeah, she's fucking crazy.
And continuing to fight him, which was kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was an interesting choice. That was nice. It was earned. They earned it.
Yeah. Yeah, all of the fights were quite good in this episode, and there were many of them, so all good things.
There weren't very many CW, maybe one CW moment.
Yeah. I do have a problem with Thea's fight scenes, not because I have a problem with like women fighting, it's because she's too wafy. It doesn't look like she can land a punch.
Yeah.
Like, she's not very tall and she's not very broad, but if you look at someone like Ronda Rousey, like, you know that woman can hit you and kill you. Like, there's no question, and she's not by at all large. She's just more solidly built. And the actress that plays Thea, like, I feel like if she hit me, it would hurt a little bit, but, like, even as, like, someone who's not a... be like, oh, really? Come here and just like grab her and hold her and put her on the ground. Be like, ah.
Yeah, you kind of feel like you could disable her with a bear hug.
I don't know. Like, yeah. I feel like with proper training, you can do that. But I think you're right. There's not like the kind of combat that they're having her do. She doesn't have the mass to support.
Yeah, she should be moving.
Like, if she was doing more joint locks and things like that instead of necessarily like brawling, which is what she's sort of doing.
And the only reason they make it work for Laurel is because they've given her the two nightsticks.
Yeah, the batons. Yeah.
Yeah, because they would be devastating to be hit by. Like, it doesn't really matter who's swinging it.
Yeah, they're giving her the extra mass. Which is only really, really funny because I think Laurel does have the mass to be able to fight somebody that well. And she went through all that boxing training. So, like, yeah, anyway.
She's super skinny.
I want to see them give, like, in my perfect world, they give Speedy a fucking kendo sword or something that doesn't actually stab or slash, but also can be used to sort of highlight her sword training skills.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. Cool. I'd get in with that. Or even, like, wielding the bow more as a sword. Bow staff instead of a...
Like Oliver has in the past.
Yeah.
I was annoyed that Anarchy guy could just bat arrows away. He doesn't seem like a highly trained killer.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. He's just kind of being portrayed as just pure chaos. Lonnie Machin is his alias. He is straight out of the comics. Don't know a ton about him. I think he's typically like a Batman villain, which isn't too shocking.
My only other problem with Anarchy, the character, is the moment where they pull up on the ambulance and the woman cop, who I'm sure has had some sort of iconographical training with her, pulls up and goes, I don't know what that A inside that circle stands for. What is that? What does it mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me right now? Oh,
you're
man.
Old enough that you should know about, you know, punk in the 60s in the
Yeah, Anarchy in the UK, baby.
Yeah.
How bad is the education system in Starling City?
It's like most of America. Pretty rough. Yeah. I mean, even if you do need to say that for most of the younger audience who watches this, like, you don't have to make it in the form of somebody being stupid. You could just be like, oh, I guess he's going by Anarchy now.
Thanks, CW, for making it lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
LCD. LC.
So, yeah, Anarchy is a new villain, and he's out and about. He's on the lam, as they say. So we'll see if he comes back, which I'm sure he will, as they often do in this show.
Yeah.
While we're on the topic of new characters, we didn't really talk too much last week about Damian Dark.
I am growing to love him, actually. In the last episode, I did not like him. I didn't like a lot of him. His character seemed... And he still does, but I guess it's growing on me, maybe. But he seemed sort of extraordinarily straightforward in the point in the fact that, like, he guises nothing in mystery. Like, he does not use clever metaphor. He just says, oh, yes, no, I intend to kill everyone.
Yeah.
And while that was kind of frustrating for me when he was, you know, in the random meeting with the city officials, I was sort of into it when it was him and Anarchy having conversations, you know, where Anarchy was sort of playing that, oh, I have such an amazing plan. They're like, you have a mess. You need to pick that shit up. Pick it up. You pick that shit up. I guess it sort of depended upon what they were, maybe the context of the situation in which he is speaking. Maybe it's because I didn't like the interaction of the characters more than I didn't like the way he spoke.
Yeah, that's fair.
Regardless, I liked him this week. I liked him a lot. Though I'm not totally sold on mystical cosmic powers.
Yeah. For sure that wasn't going to go in that direction. They've certainly gone that direction.
Yeah. Well,
the problem is they exist in a post-Flash world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where... this week's episode of The Flash went just full on into multiverse, alternate worlds. In fact, there were two Flashes, one from another world.
Should probably check that out.
Yeah, like in a world that's sharing the universe with that, you kind of have to be a little more open to the mystical things, and I don't think that Arrow has quite earned that yet. Even though, like, season two, which is some of the best Arrow, is they were dealing with the Mirakuru super soldier serum thing. They just doesn't feel like they've earned the Lazarus hot tub or other mystical powers that Neil McDonough
has. And the surprise ending at the end of this week is just going to make Laurel furious and also sort of exacerbate that problem, because when you're looking at it from a Thea was dying but not quite dead in the Lazarus pit, restored her to health, that's one thing, but fucking Sarah became a cup of noodles and now we're bringing her back to
you. Yeah, she's been dead for a long time.
For pretty much a full season.
Eight months at this point? Yeah.
Fuck it, let's go get Moira.
If you go to New Orleans, you look at their cemeteries, and they're all above ground. Like, they're basically just mausoleum tombs above ground, because you can't dig down because of the water table is, like, 3 inches or something. And they reuse those after, like, 90 days or something very, very minute. So... basically what I'm saying is Sarah doesn't have a body anymore. She's basically bones, maybe.
Wow.
So that kind of ruins the whole let's take her body to the Lazarus pit idea.
I don't know. I don't care. I think the fact that the body is in the shape that it's in is not necessarily the thing that makes me mad about it.
Yeah. Devin was watching with me at this point.
Almost dead, but actually dead.
Yeah.
And buried.
Yeah, yeah. Big difference between all dead and mostly dead.
I feel good. I feel happy.
But yeah, Devin was watching at this point, and Thea says, like, are you sure you want to go through with this? And then the camera pans back out, and the tomb or the grave is already dug up. It's like, maybe ask that question before you start digging.
You know, you could have done. Oh, man, what if the grave that we're looking at the end of episode one was Sarah's grave again?
I will punch
you know,
the TV.
You know what they could have done is end of this episode, and this is probably my favorite part of doing this podcast is writing scenes that happen in a way that I think is better. End of season four, episode two. You got Thea and Laurel next to a grove of trees of some sort. You don't necessarily know where they are, what they're doing, and Thea turns to Laurel and says, are you sure you really want to go through this? And she goes, I think we have to. And then they walk down and then pick up some shovels. And I think that's where they end the thing, instead of showing us the corpsified body of Sarah.
Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah. Also, they were way too clean to have been digging up a grave. I don't know if you know this, but if you dig a hole, you get dirty.
Yeah.
Is that how that works?
And that's it's a lot of dirt, you know? It's not a little bit of dirt.
Yeah, you can't.
And also, you need the crane to get the casket out of the ground in order to get in there. Yeah, anyway. Just saying, they didn't do their grave digger research well enough.
Yeah, I really think they should have gone out and, like, actually dug up a grave.
Being like, it is exactly this difficult.
Yeah. So.
Preferably the grave of someone who's been in the ground for 9 months.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes,
those are the best.
Say what they think of it then.
Because then you get the real. Anyway, sorry. Moving forward.
Moving forward, indeed. So other new characters we get. We had Laura Hoffman last week. Who was that? I don't know.
No idea.
It's a leftover note from last week, and I don't remember who it was. Laura Hoffman. Ch-ch-ch. I don't know. I wrote it down, and then I looked. I don't think looking it up gave me anything, so I don't think she's actually important.
Yeah, I looked up
from the
name
comics.
There was a name of a girl. They used it. Like, anytime they specifically use a first and last name in this thing, I almost always Google it.
Yeah.
And I did that for the IT person who was getting fired today. Mm. And it was like, so-and-so, she was an IT person on episode 4-2 of Arrow, and that she's alive. Her status is that she's still alive.
Yeah.
Though, interestingly enough, I follow Felicity on the Twits, and the person who plays her is Fanta Sisse. I think that is how you pronounce it. I have no idea. But I knew that there were like a ton of Fanta Sisse hashtags like over the last 4 to 6 months. So I wonder if she's going to be more prevalent. Like, I wonder if that character's coming back, because it sounds like they know each other or they're friends in real life or something. I don't know.
Possibly. Yeah, maybe that's who it was. Yeah, it was someone at Palmer Tech, which it's kind of weird that they're calling it Palmer Tech or Palmer Industries, whatever they're calling it, because it was Queen Consolidated and then Q Consolidated, and yeah, Name changes are expensive.
Yeah, rebranding.
Yeah.
Why isn't Oliver annoyed that that Felicity hasn't turned it back into Queen Consolidated?
Because they're honoring the death of Ray Palmer by keeping it.
Yeah.
That's not too far of a stretch in my head.
I genuinely forgot that he's supposed to be dead.
Yeah.
I forgot. How did his arc end at the end of last season? Why can't I remember this at all?
He's working on he's working on his Adam suit of armor, and the top floor explodes, and therefore he's dead. But he's not, because spinoff show is happening.
Oh, okay.
So the people
in the world do think that he's actually dead, but we as audience know that he is not.
Right.
And only because we know that they're doing an Adam spinoff show.
Yes. Only because I've seen the trailer.
In my headcanon, he shrank down a lot and then got lost in the void and is hanging out with the first wasp.
Oh, man. There's some Marvel news in there for you if you want it.
Yeah.
It's a different show. It's a different universe, but that's exciting also. I didn't actually see Ant-Man. I should go catch that somehow.
You should do that.
Yeah, I've only read good things about it. I want to see it also. Rudy, let's go watch it together.
Yeah, I'll be right there.
Yeah, cool.
When does it get released in Australia?
What's that?
When does it get released in Australia?
Oh, it's been and gone through the cinema. It came out the same day. Actually, we would have got it before you, because the time zone difference.
That makes me mad. Actually, I think I remember, like, every time I see that major cinema release is getting released in, like, London, like, a month before us, I always get super mad about it. Anyway. Anyway. Yeah. Island stuff? Shall we talk about the island stuff?
Yeah, sure.
He has the same haircut.
Yeah.
He does have the same haircut.
That's super convenient.
There was something that he tweeted the other day saying, on this week's episode, we say goodbye to something that's been plaguing... Let me see if I can find it. Tonight on Hashtag Arrow, we vanquish a non-living character that has vexed the fandom for 71 episodes. Does anyone have any guesses? And the first three comments are, Stardust? Tell us. What's the last? Where is that? Where'd it go? Flashback haircut? No? Oh, man, I was so helpful. Hopeful. It's like, yes. Please let it be flashback haircut. Apparently it is. Apparently there is a picture from him in the flashback where he's got a knife in some dude's leg, it looks like, and his hair is short. So maybe that's it.
It's got to be.
The wig may be gone. For realsies.
That's going to be a great? Glorious anyway. Day for the costuming department.
Right.
I have to say, it never actually annoyed me in any way, shape, or form. Like, I don't understand why people would be all caught up like, oh, he's wearing a wig. Like, so fucking what? Laurel wears a wig all the goddamn time.
Right, yeah. But it's not necessarily that he's wearing a wig. It's that hairstyle does not look good on his frame. He looks so bad when he's in the wig, you know?
Oh, he's a handsome man. It won't really matter. People will like the way he looks regardless.
I know. So it makes me so mad about it. No,
It's like, I can't pull hair off like that.
Oh, no, my hair doesn't grow long. It just grows wide. It just gets wider and wider.
Mine's starting to do that, and the falling out thing, it's doing that too. I don't like that second bit.
It's not so good, right?
You guys are old.
We old as fuck.
So we might be in our 30s. Yeah, flashback. What happens? He is told that he has to infiltrate the team, and so he blows up the dead guy that he killed in self-defense and pretends that he was also almost blown up when the other people get there, and makes his way onto the team of a guy named Baron Ryder, who is from the comics and is known as Baron Blitzkrieg. It's originally from World War II, something or other. Yeah. So, he's back on the island. I like how his excuse was what actually happened. How 3 years ago he was stranded on an island when his yacht went down.
Like, that's I loved how he didn't even try and lie at all. The only thing that really happened was he stabbed the guy and then threw him on a landmine. And then was like, your guy fell on a landmine. I survived here for 3 years. You need me. You're right. We do. Damn.
So, not sure what they're going for with the flashbacks, but
yeah, it's gonna be interesting to see what their overarching sort of theme is. Cause they always have one.
He's gonna bang the chick that was helping the old man. We know that as a fact, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have any theories about the flashback. I don't care enough to have.
I don't know. Is there anything about the guy who is the lead guy that we know about? Does that make sense? Like the character's name? Can we take that and put it in fucking
like a
story. comic book world, and then take that name and then sort of backtrack it? You know.
Yeah, not really. Not from what I know. Okay. Originally, an especially vicious German army officer who was blinded when a concentration camp prisoner threw acid into his face. So he will probably get acid thrown in his face at some point. Yeah. And then come back in the future and be all rage monster-y.
All right. I have bad news for you, and I have worse news for me.
What's
the woman who plays the character who is in question was not in Men in Black. Also, her character name for this episode of Arrow TV series is, and I quote, Worker.
Oh, God damn it.
I have a pretty firm suspicion that he is not going to quote, bang her, end quote.
I'm going with he's gonna bang her.
I want a code name.
What?
Well, everyone's got a code name. You even got a new one. I want a code name.
Find the bomb, and then we'll talk.
I'm scanning frequency signatures. I just know we're not gonna talk about it. John, you've got a runner.
I'm on it.
Got it. Ghost frequency of choice is on the ground level. 10 will get you 20. It's the bomb. I don't mean that it's the bomb, like it's good, like it's the bomb. I mean, like, it's the explosive.
Got it. Ground floor.
Next up, we can talk Hive in general. We've mentioned them before when Deadshot was all like, yeah, Hive hired me to kill your brother, dude.
Except that I don't think he ever said Hive hired me to do it. It's, you have to be careful. They have a whole Hive. Like, he used it in the
I'm talking like 2-3 seasons ago with Deadshot to Diggle. He definitely says Hive. But yeah, last week, I guess, Damien Dark definitely said that he has a Hive of bad guys. Or Oliver said that. I don't know. Basically, it was a really silly way for it to click in Diggle's head that Hive is going to be the big bad this season, and he's going to get some vengeance or something.
Or something. Maybe he will not need vengeance. Maybe he will realize that he is bigger than needing vengeance.
Or maybe he'll die and everyone will have to mourn him.
Maybe he'll die. And they'll have to gain vengeance on Hive. I don't know.
And then they'll have to dig up his body and take it to the Lazarus hot tub and bring him back to
happy life. Fun times. Yeah, exactly.
Make him be another rage monster.
Well, angry Diggle would be interesting, I think.
Diggle's annoying the shit out of me at the moment.
Yeah.
He's normally so calm and logical, and he's throwing this huge hissy fit.
Yeah, and the part that there was one line that made it inexcusable for me that this is his character arc, and that is, what's her name, his wife, talking to him last week, saying, it's a time of war, Oliver did what he needed to do. Diggle is nothing but, it, like, at his core, he is only a soldier. Yeah, so, like, that is exactly something he would understand, and he might, you know, have an inner conflict of having to accept that he understands that, but we're not seeing any of that conflict. We're just seeing him being cranky pants.
Yeah.
Being all like, dude, you, like, stole my wife or something.
And she was like, she wasn't that big a deal.
Yeah.
He only kind of murdered me.
He didn't even try and murder her. He just held her captive for a little while.
Yeah.
Totally fine.
So.
Happens to me like 3 times a week.
Well, you live in Australia.
Most people call that being blacked out drunk, Chris.
That's also true.
Yeah. So Diggle is boring, is the consensus.
Yep.
Which is why it's kind of interesting where they're going, with Laurel and Speedy going off to take a bath or something and leaving Oliver and Diggle to work things out. So it'll kind of force that to work itself out here quickly, I hope. So that's good. But Diggle definitely does need a code name, as does Felicity.
At least as far as DC World goes, a character like Felicity would be named Oracle, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Diggle. The name thrown around a lot last year or the last couple years when they're talking about Diggle getting a suit and becoming a hero is Black Driver. He was a driver for a while.
Black Driver?
Yeah. Which, if this Black was driving the 1970s, that would be totally okay and work fine. But, it's 2015, so maybe not going with that one.
Super racist.
Yeah. But that is what the internet came up with, because the internet is nothing if not very clever.
And predictable. All right, internet, do better.
Yeah. So, that's that.
If you have ideas for what Diggle's code name should be, post them on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Email them directly to Dan's inbox.
Yeah. Aeropodcast@gmail.com. For ideas for better names than Black Driver.
There are several.
Basically anything. Could be like a armored fighting guy. That would be better.
Mask man with a gun. In fact, like, the one other thing that I know that it happens and it has happened in our sort of modern zeitgeist was there was a movie called Hobo with a Shotgun, and that is better than Black Driver.
Also a great movie.
I have that movie. I haven't watched it yet.
It's phenomenal.
Is it like Machete? Phenomenal.
Yeah, it takes itself as seriously as Machete.
Okay, good.
Nice.
I'm excited for Machete Kills Again in space.
Oh my god, they're doing a third Machete?
Really? That was the preview in front of Machete Kills. So it might happen eventually, but who knows. Yeah, shall we talk a little more about Speedy and Laurel doing things?
No.
Fair enough.
I think anything exciting that is happening with Speedy and Laurel is probably going to happen next week. That, like, the fact that they have a better relationship than Oliver and Laurel or Oliver and Speedy is kind of funny, though it makes sense because they have been with each other for a little while now, and they sort of have had to come to terms with it. Here's my question. Why is no one talking about Kinroy?
Oh, I know, right? I really miss Roy. He was probably one of the better characters last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it because he's technically the Arrow and therefore a renegade now? And also supposedly dead, actually?
Yeah. He's supposedly dead, but he got out, but they could be talking about him a little at least.
I mean, they could be talking about him.
Seen a picture on his Instagram, and he is suited up, but over in the Flash universe.
Oh, what? All right, I guess I'm watching the Flash now.
Do you not?
I think I'm a couple episodes back on the last season. So, like, I think what happened I fell a couple weeks behind because I got busy, and so my Hulu account was like, yeah, you can watch the last four. And I was like, but I need to watch the last five. And so I just fell out. But now it's in Netflix, so I can go pick it up and finish up season one and then catch up.
Nice.
Maybe I'll do that Monday. Yeah, Monday. That sounds good.
Yeah, it's totally worth it.
That's what I hear. That's what everyone's saying.
So good.
So the whole internet tells me, what are you stupid now watching The Flash? That's what the internet says. And the internet is from New York.
It's true. I've heard that. So, yeah, we touched on this earlier, but I do like that Speedy and Oliver are arguing and they built up to it. And then it culminated in a pretty sweet argument fight in the basement.
Awesome fight scene, yeah.
And Oliver clearly provoked it and knew what he was doing to prove the point, to kind of shatter the glass for Thea that, you know, hey, something's
for everybody
not
else,
right.
Yeah,
did...
Because a lot of times it's like, hey, is anyone else noticing that Speedy's really pissed off all the time? And they're like, come on, she's fine. It's just... She gets swept up in the moment. She just gets swept up in the moment. It's fine. She's not fine. Mark my words, not fine. And then finally he was like, all right, I'm just going to go ahead and punch her.
Yeah.
Just to be like, look, she's not fine. I punched her right in the mouth.
Good times.
No.
Yeah. So, good. Good setup for potential.
So I guess next week we see Laurel and Sarah and Speedy in Nandiparba hang out with Nyssa and Papa Merlin.
Well, yeah, we'll go to see Barriman again, I hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't have made him the new Ra's al Ghul without Drake, without intending to bring him back to be Ra's al Ghul some more.
Yeah, especially if they're talking Nanda Parba and like he's Thea's dad and stuff, so not very likely that we won't see him, if not next week, at least pretty soon.
Right.
I feel like Merlin's holding too much of an Obi-Wan kind of position. Like he's this grand person with all this knowledge. He's meant to be a villain, damn it.
Well, that's the thing, though. At the end of last season, he was, like, popping some super villainous attitude at the end of it all, where Nyssa's all like, I will kill you, and he's like, you will try. So that was kind of crazy.
Ooh. What was the name of Al Ghul's daughter? Fuck.
Nyssa or Talia?
Nyssa, that's the one. Yeah, I'd like to see her back, mostly because she's hot. And also plays a lesbian.
I'm guessing they're bringing her back for next week.
Also has a terrible accent.
Because I know that, like, if they went and talked to Barrowman would be like, well, you get what you pay for. And if they talk to Nyssa might actually be able to be like, well, here is a secret that we might be able to use to make you not be rage angry anymore. I don't
and
know.
Rage
then
Thea.
She'll bang Sarah. and they'll film it, and it will be wonderful.
Oh my god!
Yeah, too far. Yeah, I don't know. Is potential for goodness there? I just don't have a lot of high hopes for Nanda Parbat. Although I do always enjoy some John Barrowman. He's a good dude. Yeah. Let's talk about Felicity's first world problems.
Yeah, right? Oh, I have to fire people. This is the worst.
Because I'm the head of a company and use company funds to buy things for my boyfriend.
Yeah, it means while she was out in suburbia, she let the company run into the ground. It really is her own fault.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I was going to rebut that, saying, like, not necessarily her fault, because, like, just her being there, but, like, if she was there and it was still running into the ground, I mean, as CEO, everything is your fault. Whether you're doing good or poorly, that's just how things go, because you're the CEO. So everything can be traced back to your decision.
Yeah, except she's been absent, so poor decisions were made while she wasn't there. And because Felicity's meant to be super smart, I feel like she would have been able to not make poor decisions.
Right, as you can see at the end of this episode when she and Mr. Terrific, he has a real name, but in the comics he is a hero known as Mr. Terrific.
I like it. Yeah. I like that character. I like that actor.
Curtis Holt. Yeah. He's basically a tech nerd and has these little spheres that fly around and do things. I don't know. I read like 2 issues of his New 52 series and then didn't read more because didn't have any money to read all of them and got tired of downloading them illegally. So, yeah.
Ooh, his art looks cool.
Yeah, he's potential to be an interesting meta human of some kind in the future. And he has a husband, which is cool.
I don't think he needs to be meta. Like, if what if the Terrific anti-gravity ball things are what they invent together?
I really hope they call them that at some point. The Terrific what? Anti-gravity ball things.
Shut up. Though, some more of his art does kind of look like he gets robotized a little bit.
Yeah.
Anti-grav balls.
Or T-balls, because they have little T's on them.
They have little T's on them because of Terrific, I'm guessing, yeah.
So, yeah. I think the actor who plays him is intriguing. He's got a good quirkiness going to him kind of be like the anti-Felicity or the season one Felicity. Yeah, I don't know. Could go good places, but he agrees to work with Felicity and in lying to the board that they have a plan to save the company, which I assume is going to lead into the T-balls or anti-gravity coolness
balls. Ball things.
Ball thingies.
Big balls. That's the important one.
Yeah, basically he and Felicity are just going to play with his balls for a while. Make everyone a lot of money.
You're late.
I know. Sorry, I was looking at the numbers again.
Oh, you mean the numbers of people that your magic downsizing algorithm is making us fire today.
Downsizing? You think I did?
Let's get one thing straight. The only person who is allowed to talk in sentence fragments around here is me.
I developed my algorithm to create a value matrix, to argue for company-wide pay increases, raises. Mr. Dennis turned it around and had me use it to figure out who to fire.
So this wasn't your idea?
I was trying to get people to get paid more. Not pay nothing.
Oh man, I wish I remember how that quote went. Okay. There's one of the yeah, there are some good ones. Anyway.
What a nice segue, Rudy.
Thank you. I was trying to remember the one between him and her where he sort of kind of like, he can't quite. And then she's like, wait, listen, let's get one thing straight. Only I can leave sentences unfinished or something like that.
I'm the only one who can speak in sentence fragments around here.
That's what it was.
Yeah, something along those lines. But yeah, that was definitely great.
There was the whole I need a code name thing. See, now they know you work with someone named Felicity.
Yep. That was good. Diggle should have a code name too. And
just then, get it down here. I enjoyed that sequence because it, like, the sequence where she's saying she needs one and he says, get Diggle down here to disarm the bomb. And she's like, John probably needs one too. And he's like, just get him down here. And he's kind of smiling through it. Like, it looked nice because it felt like they were having fun.
Yeah. Hey, it's the bomb. And I mean that as it's the actual blowing up device and not, you know, like it's the bomb because it's cool.
Yeah, right. That's a good one, too. Are you ready for my favorite for the whole episode?
Yes, yep. Please. Lay it on me.
It was actually from Damien Darhk.
Yeah.
When Anarchy grabs him and Damien goes, you know, your hand, it's on me. Like, that's the worst thing that could be happening right then. Clean it up. So it was nice. I enjoyed that scene a lot.
They had a really hand, fun dynamic to watch.
It's on me. Yeah.
I like that.
Though the one that I didn't like was when Damien said, I don't know who about so-and-so, but Hive doesn't tolerate third chances. And I was like, that sounds like a really dry hump of a threat. Just you're giving him a second chance.
Yeah, I like it even more now that you use the term dry hump of a threat.
I stole it from Frisky Dingo. All
right.
I use it every now and then. Essentially, there's this moment where he's talking about how he's going to get the message about his doomsday device out, and they're like, what about mailers? And he goes, mailers? Ugh, the dry hump of marketing. So I use it every now and then.
I straight up stole that one. A lot of my job is making mailers happen. And yeah, I can't argue that fact. Or that description, rather. So, yeah, I'm quoted out. Any other quotes?
Nope.
Not for me. It wasn't a particularly quotable episode.
Yeah. That's not true. I have one more, but it's kind of the same. It's when Lance is talking to Damien Darhk, and he's like, next time, and there will be a next time, watch your language.
No, it was watch your
tone.
It might have been tone.
Yeah. I don't know. Just funny seeing someone who's supposed to be like the big bad that everyone's afraid of, and he has a quirk like that.
I was kind of hoping he'd be like, and next time, and there will be a next time, leave your attitude at the door.
Yeah, that'd be good. Cliches.
I'm just trying to think of like the funniest way that could have gone instead of like the best way, just because to go in the opposite direction is fun too. Next time, and there will be a next time, turn that frown upside down.
Yeah. Sweet. Trick arrows. I don't know if there were any trick arrows, but they did have the anti-bomb spray. Using
one of the arrows. What's yours? Go ahead.
The anti-bomb spray. They find
that's
the
bomb. That's pretty dope.
And he sprays something on it. Is that like a thing?
Not in the way that they showed it. I don't know what the thing that they had is trying to make it look like. I do know that there were like detonators that needed to be inside of a certain temperature thing. So like if you hit them with liquid nitrogen, you could potentially cause them to malfunction and stop. But I don't know if there's just something that, like, you spray it on it and it causes your detonator to not be a detonator anymore. I don't know. Like an EMP spray? I don't know.
It kind of felt like, what's it called? The old shark spray that Batman carried in the 1960s.
Yeah, right?
The shark repellent.
Exactly what it felt like. Get out your arrow bomb repellent.
Yeah.
So that was interesting.
That was just a little bit too campy for my liking. This show doesn't have that camp factor.
Yeah, usually it's very rooted in the realism. You know? We're getting more and more technologically advanced. It's turning to gadgets powers, you know.
But, yeah, I mean, they could have fixed it with a line of dialogue. Like, you just got to freeze that thing and then the detonators won't be able to work.
Yeah, or like they know what the detonator is and they've worked up some sort of thing, so it's a question of sliding in a SIM card or something instead of, I have this aerosol that just disarms bombs.
Or shit, cut the red wire. That's never a bad idea.
Yeah, right?
Or better yet, shoot the red wire from across the room.
Yeah. So my favorite use of a trick arrow for this week was... Laurel was running along a shipping crate of some sort and beating people up, and then she just goes and jumps off the edge of it with her baton over her head, and Oliver shoots a repelling arrow through her arms and into the next, like, building, and she slides down and shit. And that was fucking cool. Epic.
That was a nice piece of choreography.
Yeah, all this stuff where they work as a team is nice. So, which, I mean, that's like the logical step that they could have taken with the action stuff. They were kind of starting to maybe start getting stale, and that definitely upped the game by having, you know, four of them in the fray at once.
Yeah, right. The teamwork element is going to start becoming very cool.
Yeah.
And it's also becoming less about, no, I don't need you out there. No, I don't need you. And it's like, all right. And the scene where they all come through the four glass windows at the top of the scene and all drop down at the same time, it was like such a great Avengers moment where I was like, yes, this is a team I can get behind. I'm liking the team dynamic now.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So let's break it up and... come back next week and with Felicity and, or not Felicity, Thea and Laurel are not around.
Yeah. Sounds right.
Something like that's happening.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. How are they going to get that dead body through customs?
That's what I want to know. Have to call up Hal Jordan.
Yeah. See, that's what they needed. That's what Diggle's code name needs to be.
Hal Jordan?
Green Lantern. Duh.
I mean, there was talk of that, too. But that's a whole rights issue. I don't know. I haven't been following it enough to really comment on it. Other than that, it's a mess. Because it would be cool, but, you know, Green Lantern is... its own property, so yeah, I don't know. But that will wrap up season 4, episode 2, I guess. Anybody else have anything?
No.
Nope.
Sweet.
I swear, if there was even a scratch on that girl, so help me!
I'm afraid that is out of my control.
Yeah. Well, so am I. I am out. I am all the way out.
Well, I suppose you need a reminder that Madison Danforth is not the only vulnerable daughter in the city.
You stay the hell away from my daughter, you son of a bitch!
Language.
What is this?
The location of the Danforth girl. My sincere threat against your daughter notwithstanding, this abduction lacks taste. The next time we meet, and make no mistake, there will be a next time. Remember to mind your tone.
All right. Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, you can shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com or by leaving us a comment at roguearrow.blogspot.com. Like my brother Brad, who said, "Yeah, but that costume is rad," on our previous week's post. Because, yeah, Oliver has a new costume, the Green Arrow costume. And it's pretty similar to the New 52 comics costume in that it's very sparse and utilitarian, very leathery, and looks pretty nice. So, yeah, pretty badass. Other things you could do, find us on Facebook, like us there, and rate and review us on iTunes. Those are good ways to get new listeners. Yeah, I need to go look at our iTunes reviews. I have not done so this year so far, so we'll look for more next week. Hit us up on there. Check out our other shows by going to almproductions.net. And as always, I am Daniel Janes.
I'm Rudy Schubach.
And I'm Chris O'Neill.
That's weird.
Yeah.
Because the "and" usually comes before Laurel Mertz. It's weird.
I know.
Yeah. Podcast is an Autological Media Productions podcast. Leave us feedback at roguearrow.blogspot.com or shoot us an email at arrowpodcast@gmail.com. Please like us on Facebook and rate and review us on iTunes. And if you want to check out our other shows, go to almproductions.net. As always, thank you for listening.
I hear guitar.
That's me. Sorry. I apologize.
You don't need to apologize. More guitar.
No, I'm good.
You should just noodle throughout the entire episode. Just have a nice soundtrack.
Right. Soundtrack. I will, yeah. What is it called when they do that for a movie?
Annoying.
Cool.
Score?
Do you want to hear the other random things that I have around my desk that could be used to make noises and sound effects?
Not particularly.
That was the shit awful. Was that already?
It's my sonic screwdriver.
Nice.
Oh, no. My buddy Aiden's got like a blue and a green sonic screwdriver sitting in his flat.
You should get a red one and have Jedi Time Lord battles.
I've got the green guy. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, Arrow?
He's going to bang the chick that was helping the old man. We know that as a fact, right?
Yeah, that's...
Oh, shit. She's the... You know what? I couldn't remember what her face... What I remember her face from. Do you know what I remember her face from?
What?
Men in Black. I'll bet you.
Huh. Oh, Men in Black.
Wait for it. Men in Black, 1997. The woman who played Linda Fiorentino. Linda Fiorentino. Face and... Let's see. Actress, recent. Maybe I'm wrong. Hold on. Oh, no. I'm going to feel like a real asshole. She's got that face, though. Come on. Maybe not. I could be wrong. Looks like I'm wrong.
Oh, well.
Her last credit was in 2009.
That's all right. I'll cut that out. Put it at the end of the episode.
put it at the end of the episode.
If anyone's still listening by then, they'll get a laugh.